got a driver asleep at the wheel on Route 90.
You gotta be kidding me. You gotta be kidding me. Hey! Hey, moron! Hey! Hey, moron! This guy's like a Rip Van Winkle. Hey! Hey!
All right, it's Dave Plyer here on 720 WGN. So a couple of cops help a local man put down his sick dog, only to find out the dog actually belongs to the man's neighbor and is not, in fact, sick. That particular misdirect from season 2 of Reno 911 proved so popular with real-life police, they adopted it as a training video to prepare officers for someone at a crime scene that's possibly lying. Now, Reno 911's seventh season is now on Quibi. What is Quibi, you asked? And well, Quibi presents fresh content from today's biggest stars, one quick bite at a time, incredible storytelling delivered right to your phone. From all new original shows to must-see movies told in chapters. One of the stars is Joe Latrullio. You also know him from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, all the way back to Superbad in the State. And he joins us tonight. Welcome in, Joe.
Well, thanks for having me, Dave. Pleasure to be here.
Well, you know, Reno 911 just released its seventh season and part two, back from a 11-year hiatus. So what was the idea behind, after all that time, bringing the show back and doing it in these little bite-sized pieces?
Well, I think, Tom Lennon and Ben Grant and Carrie Kenny Silver, the creators wanted to do the show again, and they put some feelers out to the squad, and we were like, yeah, let's do it if we can.
That's
and I
great.
Think, you know, Quibi was like, hey, we like funny things, short funny things, and it just seemed to work out for the best, the format of Quibi and just the type of show Reno is. Which are, you know, just really funny sketches. It seemed to be a perfect fit. And all of us have such a great time working together that it just seemed to be a no-brainer.
Well, I was going to say, you know, the show is just really considered a classic. And much like Curb Your Enthusiasm took off all that time, here comes Reno 911. And what's interesting about how it's being presented on Quibi is that, you know, people's attention spans have just changed, really. I mean, over the last decade. And to be able to present this show to your fans, but also to new viewers, I think this is just great.
Yeah, I agree. I agree. I think it's a perfect way to do it. And like I said, we were excited just to work together again because it's just a blast. We're like a fine wine, the Reno cast. You know, you lay us down for 10 years, and then you open us up again, and we really get all those flavors flowing, and so that's why we're back.
I love it. Well, it's one of those rare shows, I have to be honest with you, that, like, you know, some shows you watch, you listen to in the background, I really do have to sit and focus and create some time for this, but it's one of those shows that I put my hands on, like, on top of my head, over my mouth, with this wild
right.
shock, but I love it.
Yeah, you know, it's such a great concept, and you know, they've had so many amazing comic stars on it from the get-go that it's really wonderful to watch, and it's just like kind of a breath of fresh air just to take a, you know, just to laugh a little bit at these idiots, you know.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Was it fun? I mean, it must have been pretty surreal, though, after all these years getting back together with everybody.
It was, but, like, people fell into it pretty quickly, you know.
Uh-huh.
People were really able to, like, get on board, and it was like riding a bike, really.
Yeah.
You know, the show is all improv, and that's always fun, and everyone is so darn good at it that it really was. It wasn't as strange as you would think, which was nice.
It
was a very familiar feeling, and, you know, we were just throwing the ball back and forth again. I'm hoping that we do more of them. I think we're trying to do more of them, and we'll see how that plays out.
You have had so many great roles in your career, but comedy has always been in your blood. And I know you met many of your future the State cast members when you were at New York University, and I was a big fan of the State back then. But was that when you knew you wanted to get into comedy? Was it when you were in college or high school, or was it even before that?
It was before that. I mean, I collect a lot of Mad magazines and was very much into, I loved Meatballs, the movie. Like I was very much into comedy. I was a little bit more into horror movies actually at the time. Fangoria magazine and making some short like horror movies myself and reading a lot of Stephen King. But comedy wise, it was always part of my early childhood. Being an Irish Italian family, it was very loud and funny, and I think that's where it all started. But I was actually annoyingly serious in high school and college, and didn't expect to actually pursue comedy that much. And Michael Showalter was the one that really kind of dragged me to the auditions for the State, which was the sketch comedy group in college I was part of, and then it kind of went from there. So I've always liked comedy, but more on Mad Magazine and some comedy movies at the time. I didn't even really watch Monty Python until college. So I was really kind of green on all that. I just kind of fell into the professional part of comedy pretty late.
I wonder if that just comes from, your comedies can be very dry. Like it's just that funny. Like you just got to really look at your eyes and see what you're trying to say. And I wonder if that comes from who you are, maybe as more of a serious individual than adapting that comedy to it.
I don't know. It's always so hard for me to kind of break down how it works. It's kind of like, you push the button and then I just go. But yeah, I think that perhaps there's some truth to that for sure. I just love doing it. I'm very lucky to have known from an early age what I want to do. So, and then the second part of the luck was just meeting all the incredibly talented people at NYU and beyond because I fall into these circles where these people just bring their A game and they're just wonderful people to learn from. So I think that has a lot to do with the success I've had so far. So I don't take that lightly at all.
But too, that sketch comedy improv is really a great way to hone your craft, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's a good way to kind of play a lot of different ranges of emotions. Yeah, I think so.
And besides that talent, you're an animator too.
Although, I've always loved to draw and I still do. That was something that I was able to do a little bit for the State, and would love to get back into a little bit more. But, I've always illustrated, and drawn cartoons, and I like to explore all the, of that side as well.
All right, we're talking to actor Joe Latrullio of Reno 911, now in its seventh season. Also, Brooklyn 99, and there's more when we come back on 720 WGN.
Your ex-wife is here.
Eleanor?
The destroyer of worlds?
Why?
Maybe it's nothing bad. Maybe some of your mail got sent to her house.
Oh, God, I hope not. If that happened, she would be livid.
Oh, well, just don't assume the worst. That's all I'm saying.
Then why did you bring up the mail thing?
I don't. Hello, Chunk. Heard you want your sperm. You're gonna have to go through me.
Oh no, this is way worse than the mail thing.
What mail thing?
Nothing. There's no mail thing. There's no mail thing. But it's my sperm. How did you even find out I wanted it?
Because the account's under my name. Storage facility called me saying that you were looking to make a withdrawal, so I went ahead and withdrew it for you. I have all of your sperm.
But you don't even care about it, Eleanor! I mean, remember? Oh, hey, Charles! I'll never have a baby with you because I don't love you, and a child's not gonna fix that!
Oof. When he started doing the silly voice, I thought it was going to be more fun, but it wasn't.
Dave Plyer here on 720 WGN. We're talking to actor Joe Latrullio on the seventh season of Reno 911. And you're behind the camera a lot, too, so you're doing voice work. You've been doing voice work. Actually, one of the most respected guys doing that. That's a whole different world, and I got to imagine it's really a new adventure every time you walk into a studio with that.
It's the easiest job in the world, and I love it. I mean, you show up in, shorts and a T-shirt. You get to goof around and make funny voices. I wish I... I've done more of that as well, because that is, especially now, above these pandemic times, to kind of be home and record your stuff is certainly the safest way to go. And there's just there's so much great writing going on. You know, Big Mouth, Nick Kroll's show is terrific, and there's a lot of terrific animation out there. So yeah, I love doing that as well. And directing is something that I did much earlier as a kid, and luckily have been able to do professionally as of late. So that's something that I'm hoping starts to build up, and I do more of that as well.
So again, Reno 911 season 7 part 2 currently on Quibi, and then season 8 of Brooklyn Nine-Nine coming up next year. And you've been doing some directing on that show as well. Is that something you see doing more often on the show and other shows? Do you like being behind the camera?
Well, I would love to do more on Brooklyn, and perhaps, you know, that might be the case if we go beyond this season. You know, there's so many incredible directors we're able to work with, and Stephanie Beatrice and Melissa Fumero, two other cast members, also love directing. And so, you know, there's only so many slots to fill, and we have a lot of other incredible directors that have been waiting for a long time. So, look, I would love to direct more Brooklyn. I certainly would love to direct other episodics. I think that's down the road. But I also think it's important to get some young directors, women directors, people of color on our show as directors. I think our show always pushes inclusivity, and I think that should happen, you know, behind the camera as well. So I'm hoping, I would love to do more Brooklyn, and we'll certainly do one again if we do another season and there's more episodes to go around, for sure.
Very cool. I know what a diverse actor you are, and, you know, you got this upcoming role in the Showtime miniseries, you know, Comey, with Comey, about Comey, and you're Jeff Sessions. You're Jeff Sessions.
Yeah. It was a thrill. I was so excited to do it. I couldn't believe it. Billy Ray, the writer and director I had worked with before, and is what a talent. I was so flattered, and he asked if I would do it, and I said, "Are you sure? I mean, you know, I'm no, you know, I'm no looker, but I'm not like 74 either." And you know, we talked about that. It was really wonderful to watch Billy work, and to watch Brendan Gleeson and Jeff Daniels. Those guys, what a masterclass on both ends. And the real fun part of me getting Jeff Sessions is my wife's aunt lives down there in Alabama, and she's a Republican, and actually knows Jeff Sessions.
Oh, get out of
here. I had a fun little tease. When I got the part, I called her up and I said, you know, Aunt Brenda, guess who your very progressive liberal nephew-in-law will be playing. And I told her, and she loved it, and we had a good laugh about it. But I'm very excited for the miniseries. And I think it's, you know, I think it's exhausting. I'm sure a lot of people are tired of the political climate, but I think it's a movie that puts things into context in a very real way. And Billy Ray was very careful to kind of present the story on a human drama level. It's like, look, let's try not to make any judgments here on the people. Let's just kind of put them in the context of the situation and play the very real emotions that they're going to be feeling, you know, at that time. So, you know, I'm very excited about the movie, and I'm excited about my small little, small but very explosive part in the movie.
Well, I was going to say, there's one thing to play a dramatic role of a character that is written, but you're playing somebody. You're playing somebody that everybody has seen and everybody knows. Is there a different pressure, more research? Like, how did you find this?
No, there wasn't. I mean, to be honest, like, it was, you know, I just kind of tried to play this person who's attorney general and is being asked to do this thing, which is quite awkward to be asked to do. And so and I have to just hand it also to makeup and hair on that production were phenomenal, and they really kind of sold it. Like, I didn't have to do much. I, you know, got the nasal twang in there a little bit, and in the back of the throat, you know, was and so worked on that a little bit, but that was really it. There wasn't a lot to dive into. I mean, he's a real person. I don't speculate to know what he was thinking or how he truly felt about it. So I was just in a position of, look, if I'm in that position as Attorney General,
yeah,
and the president is going to me like this, this is how I'm going to do it. So, yeah, I didn't try to get wrapped up in that too much.
Very good. What else you working on? Hollywood starting to open up a little bit, production starting to open up. I take it Brooklyn Nine-Nine's on your plate.
We're hoping to start Brooklyn in a couple months or two. We'll hopefully that the cast and everyone else feels safe to do that. And other than Brooklyn, you know, I'm currently working on prepping a movie that I was supposed to shoot that I wrote and then will be directing in the summer. It had to be pushed, and we're hoping to shoot it next summer. So that's something else I'm working on. That's a horror movie. Cool. Straight horror movie that I'm very excited about. We have a great cast. So I've been juggling that and spending time with my family and teaching my 4-year-old how to play chess and,
nice.
And swimming in the pool. And just like, we're very fortunate. We're in a good spot, and I'm just trying to enjoy the time because, you know, it's all going to end at a certain point. We're all going to go back.
I know,
all going out of our minds and things are crazy,
yeah.
But like, this will be a time where you're like, oh, remember when we just didn't have to do anything? It was very hard, and we're all very happy we're not there anymore.
Yeah.
But there is a point where, you know, this isn't going to happen again, hopefully. I don't want to say magical, but it's a very rare time to have so much time to do things that you can work on and spend time with people that you want to spend it with on FaceTime or otherwise. So anyway,
I know
that's my rant on things.
Yeah, I was going to say, my 8-year-old said to me, so, Dad, when this happened when you were a kid, I'm like, oh, man, this has never happened. We're all going through this together. Right?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, I hope another season.
Yeah, we'll get out of it, too.
I hope so. I hope another season of Reno 911 happens as well. And right now, Season 7, Part 2 is currently available on Quibi. Joe, what a pleasure talking to you and spending some time with us tonight.
You too, Dave. Thanks for having me again, and stay safe, and we'll see. We'll talk again soon, I hope.
You too, my friend. All right, thank you. All right, much more ahead here on 720 WGN.